This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, here on the PowerCast, we never get much of an opportunity to talk about previous shows. We do sometimes. But last week we featured Cheryl Costa, who writes for the SyracuseNewTimes.com, which is one of those weekly papers, kind of in the tradition of the Village Voice, which is no longer here, or the Phoenix New Times. And she writes a UFO column. So we had her on the main show, and then we put her on after the PowerCast, which is part of the PowerCast Plus package. And it's just a fascinating session. She has so much information. Randall, she's one of our best guests in recent weeks.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the episode. She was able to articulate very well what she's been up to with her database, and I think she's really kind of underappreciated in the field as a whole there. We just started to get into some of the stuff about consciousness and remote viewing and the rest of that when we ran out of time. So when she comes back, we'll have to pick up there.
You know, somebody wrote the other day that the quality of our guests has declined in recent months. And I was looking over the schedule since October 14th. We had Alejandro Rojas and Kurt Collins, Red Pill Junkie on October 21st, Chris Rutkowski, October 28th, J. Adam Smith, fascinating guy who does tours of haunted houses in Knoxville on November 4th, Eric Ouellette, of course, Jerry Clark, third edition of his UFO encyclopedia, Preston Dennett, Suzanne Hansen, who is kind of interesting because she's a contactee, Mark Jackson, one of our own listeners who is just extremely, extremely knowledgeable. He's a scientist, a geologist. And I think we've had some of our best guests yet. And today we're going to have another terrific guest, the one, the only Nick Redfern, except no substitutes. Welcome back, Nick.
Hey, guys.
I wanted to ask you, first of all, because you're just such a wealth of information. You had an article on your blog. Actually, it was from Mysterious Universe that you linked to on your blog. Men in Black, are they really the good guys? Now, obviously, in the movie, they're the good guys. But in the real world, are the Men in Black good?
Well, that's a good question. If you look at the history of the real Men in Black, which are nothing like Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, you know, as you know from the reports that go back to the 50s and 60s, they're sort of kind of described as skeletal, pale, creepy-looking guys who don't even look completely human. You know, they look really kind of weird. And in most of those cases, if not all of them, the whole point is to threaten the person or the witness into a state of fear so that they'll never talk about their experience, or at the very least, just to puzzle them and kind of make the person just a little bit sort of weirded out by the whole thing. But either way, what it comes down to is that they are sort of in the business of silencing people. Although I think that is probably the agenda, you know, I think it doesn't hurt to sort of take on, you know, alternative ideas and theories. One of them being the theme of that particular article where, you know, I sort of made the analogy that sometimes things can seem to be, you know, for you, but it's going against you when that may not be the case. A good example, you take your dog to the vet to have it yearly or regular shots. When the dog goes, it gets hit with a needle and doesn't like it. And the dog remembers. Next time he goes there, you know, you go to the vet and you see the dog's all sort of quivering and stressed out. But it's for the dog's good, you know, so they don't get rabies or they don't get that. Although that's sort of a simplistic and slightly alternative angle. But what I do think is the possibility that from their perspective, the MIB's perspective, maybe keeping us away from the UFO subject isn't a bad thing. I mean, if you look at the history of the UFO phenomenon, you find examples where people have had very bad situations when they've got involved in the UFO subject. A classic one being Albert Bender, who arguably began the whole UFO phenomenon and visited by the Men in Black and was plunged into states of fear and paranoia. But the big question is, you know, was that because he was visited by the Men in Black? Well, you know, he was visited, but he was already going down like a paranoid pathway before he got the visit. So you could make a case that they helped to push him away from that paranoia and ill health that he developed by essentially telling him to leave the subject, which he did. And as he did that, his health improved and he got married. You could actually make a case that they're sort of misrepresented. I don't personally have the two theories. I think they are here to threaten them. But you can make a case that perhaps they are the good guys, but misunderstood good guys.
Right. But in the case of the Men in Black, with regard to Albert Bender, he came out with that book, Flying Saucers and the Three Men, heavily edited by Gray Barker, where he said that the Men in Black were space people.
Yeah, that's right. Regardless of whether people believe, you know, they're from another world or another dimension or whatever, the fact is that most people do report them looking really, really weird, you know, skeletal, sometimes extremely tall, don't seem to fully understand our mannerisms and how to talk properly. And there are some weird cases where after Men in Black have left the person's home, there's been like an outbreak of, I guess the closest thing you could think to is like poltergeist activity in the home. And people have fallen sick in the presence of the Men in Black, like a supernatural infection. So whatever they are, I don't believe they're from the DOD or the Pentagon or anywhere like that. You know, maybe if they are sort of really alien in the sense they don't understand us particularly well, well, maybe an attempt to keep us away from the subject for our own good might be perceived by us as a threat because we just don't have this good rapport with them. But then again, who really wants a rapport with the Men in Black?
Well, I mean, in a forest cell, you might question whether or not the theory goes being pushed out from several stories up in your hospital, that's good for you in any kind of way. And well, of course, in, you know, leading up to that, there was several sightings of MIBs, and he was concerned that they were following him and didn't know who they were.
Yeah, that's right. There was a really weird situation where a strange-looking guy, and this is actually in one of the biographies about him, and he's described as an unusual-looking guy, turned up at the doorstep and spoke to his maid or bottle, whatever that he got, and claimed to be working from the post office and could he see the owner of the house. And it was just, and it became clear that it was just like a contrived, almost like a piece of theater. And that plunged him even further down a, you know, sort of like a paranoid state.
It kind of suggests that these are intermediaries, right? Like they're not the aliens themselves. They've been sent by them.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the interesting things is that it seems, you know, granted it's our perception of it, but it seems they've been dispatched and sent out to make these threats. But the big question, of course, is, well, are they doing it of their own volition because they feel it has to be done? Or are they being sort of controlled or programmed even to do it? And the reason why I say programmed is because in many of the cases where you know, witnesses have been in the company of the Men in Black, it's almost as if the Men in Black aren't, they're speaking the words, but it's almost as if they don't know what they're saying. Like, for example, if somebody gave you like a 30-second speech in French, now, after a day or so, you could probably, you know, say it word for word, but without knowing what it means. And that's how, you know, some people describe the Men in Black. It's as if they're making a statement that they remembered or learned, but they don't necessarily have any understanding of what it is they're actually saying. Kind of almost like, I guess the best analogy I can think of would be the Men in Black in the Matrix movies, which aren't actually kind of real. You know, they're sort of like part of a program.
You know, we have to do a break now, and we'll get back to more of the Men in Black, and I want to ask you something about a book that we really haven't covered with you before. More to come with Nick Redfern, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com. Attendance is free. That's acs2018.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
And but I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
The one, the only Nick Redfern is joining us. We're always happy to have him on. There was a book that you had out like last May that we really hadn't discussed. And I'm looking at the title, The Black Diary, MIB, Women in Black, Black Eyed Children, and Dangerous Books.
dangerous books, Nick? What do you mean by that?
Dangerous books are very dangerous. But, yeah, well, I guess really you have to sort of put this in its context, because altogether between 2006 and earlier this year with The Black Diary, I've done 5 books altogether on the Men in Black and Women in Black phenomenon. Well, 3 on the MIB, 1 on Women in Black, and then the new one, Black Diary. And that sort of really kind of brings everything together that I've done research-wise and writing-wise in those 5 books on the whole Men in Black phenomenon. And the latest one, The Black Diary, I decided to write that in a very different way to I wrote the other books, because I became, in some respects, a part of the story. With the other books, I was sort of detached and writing it from like a historical perspective of like Albert Bender, Gray Barker, and Brad Steiger, and how these people expanded the mythology surrounding the Men in Black. But with the new one, I decided to write that almost like in a personal journal style, which is why it's called The Black Diary. So it's basically sort of about a 3 or 4 year journal, if you like, of all the various cases I've looked into and weird experiences I had in relation to the whole Men in Black phenomenon from about 2014 to 2018 when the book came out. So it's very much like a journal slash diary type approach, and really kind of adds all the stuff that I'd never put in any of the previous books, and which really now everything, just about everything I've got on the Men in Black is now out there in those 5 books.
So what was your weirdest experience while you were putting all that together from a personal perspective?
Oh, well, there's a lot of really weird and strange stuff that happened. One of the weirdest issues of all, it revolved around the Roman Polanski movie, Rosemary's Baby, as strange as that might sound. I'll explain. It's a bit of a convoluted story, but I'll explain it to you. As weird as it may sound, there are a number of cases on record where people have watched the movie or have read the book on which the movie was based, or they've listened to the soundtrack, and in the immediate aftermath of this, they have had paranormal experiences. Now, you could say it's coincidental, but there are far more than a few cases like that. One of the people whose story is in the book and who I interviewed is a guy named Peter Beckman. And Peter is a voiceover actor. He does voiceovers for commercials and cartoons and TV shows and things like this. He was telling me how back in 1969, he and a friend were at his home on a Saturday night, and they were basically hanging out, you know, teenagers at the time, and they were listening to the soundtrack of Rosemary's Baby while they were taking mescaline. Peter explained to me how, you know, the combination of both set in like a really strange atmosphere in the home. And it was almost as if by doing this that it had sort of opened a portal or a doorway. And shortly afterwards, there was this knock on the door, and Peter, in a slightly altered state, opened the door to be confronted by 2 creepy, classic, pale-looking, weird MIB. Then things kind of went even weirder, where neither of them were able to fully remember exactly what happened after that, except for the fact the MIB came into the house, and it was right at the time when in the soundtrack, when you have the sacrifice music was playing. Now, that's just one thing. There are other people who I talk about in the book who had similar things, but the weirdest thing of all was that you mentioned Mysterious Universe earlier in relation to an MIB article that I wrote. Well, I also wrote back in 2016 an article all about this weirdness surrounding Roman Polanski's Rosemary's Baby. And I pointed out Peter Beckman's story and several other stories as well. Bear in mind, this was like a Friday, and I wrote the article in the morning and did a bunch of research, but also to, you know, get me completely in tune with it, I watched the movie as well. I didn't think anything more of it. Next morning, I got up, happened to sort of look out the window. I live in a 2-story apartment block, and I live on the 2nd floor. And as I opened, or just peeked through the blinds, see what the weather was like, I swear to you, there was a guy outside in a black suit and a black fedora walking in a really weird shuffling fashion with his arms dangling like a dog would. You know, if you've got a pet dog and you put the dog on its back legs, you know, and the front legs dangle. I just stopped and stared. And I raced to get my smartphone, I should say. And by the time that I got back, he was getting into a car, not a black car, I should say, that was just further down from the apartment block. All of that could have been a complete bizarre coincidence, but it was like really, really strange that the timing of deciding to write the article, interviewing Peter, interviewing the other people, watching the movie again that night to make sure I got all the information, hadn't missed anything important, and then wake up the following morning to see this guy. Now, what I did, I actually managed to get a picture of him from the window, and that's when I sort of jumped into some clothes, grabbed the phone, and by the time I'd done all that, then he'd gone. But I did get the picture, and it's in the book. And it's sort of a very weird and creepy picture. He's like, he's very elderly. You can tell he's sort of like skinny and just odd looking with his arms hanging in this odd way. Now, you know, the apartment's where I live. I've lived here for 6 years, and I know for sure, or 7 years now, I know for sure that there's nobody at the apartment who even remotely fits that, you know, that description. And, you know, there's the fact of his dressing anyway, you know, like an old style suit and a fedora. You know, nobody wanders around my apartment block in a black fedora on a Saturday morning at like 7:30.
And that is pretty weird. Yeah, definitely. Exactly. Who wears a hat anymore, period? I mean, let alone kind of walking in this is sort of zombie kind of a walk, you know?
Yeah, and it was one of these situations where, you know, people have said to me, what would you do if you saw the bed in black? I'd say, well, you know, I'd sort of grab them and whatever. But what I did is what so many people do in paranormal situations. It's like you're seeing a car accident and you don't do what you think you would do. You know, I was sort of frozen. I was just looking at him sort of walking from the right to the left as I was looking out the window. And he was shuffling along really slow. And I just looked at him for about 5 or 6 seconds, maybe 10 seconds. And then I was like, wow, I need to get a picture.
So, yeah.
And after this show ends, Nick Redfern will be back on this week's episode of After the Paracast, which is part of the Paracast Plus. We got more to come with Nick Redfern, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The partial federal shutdown is expected to drag on through Christmas. President Trump and congressional leaders are still stuck in a standoff over his border wall with Mexico. The Senate has adjourned, but could be called back at any time if there's a deal. USA's Rick Vincent has more on the story.
Speaking on the Senate floor, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said no further votes will occur until the President and Senate Democrats have reached an agreement to resolve this.
Push the pause button until the President
from whom we will need a signature, and Senate Democrats, from whom we will need votes, reach an agreement.
Chuck Schumer then took to the Senate floor and told the president he has to give up on his $5 billion wall. He says there were three proposals on the table, two from Democrats and one from Republicans.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So Nick Redfern talks of the need to get a picture of something. Go ahead, please.
Well, yeah, as I said, I saw him. That was one of the other weird things. You know, it was 7:30. I just happened to look out the window, the reason being because I was going to be going out for the day and I wanted to see what the weather was like. Otherwise, I wouldn't have bothered. But I looked through the window to see what the weather was like, and I happened to look out the window at 7:30, which just happened to be when he was walking past at the same time. And as I said, he was approaching from the right on the pathway outside the window and shuffling along. And I did what a lot of people do when something bizarre happens. You don't do what you normally think you would do. And I just sort of froze and just stared. And then I thought, I've got to get a picture. So I ran into my office to get my, with hindsight, again, I didn't think straight here. I should have just picked up my smartphone. But what I did, I went for my camera and I was messing around in a drawer to find it. So then I had to go into the bedroom and grab the phone, which was still charging. So I grabbed that and then and took the picture. So I got the picture, but I wasn't even dressed or anything. So I had to jump into some clothes, get dressed, put some shoes on, get to the door, down the steps. And by the time I'd done that, he was in the back of his car driving away. And it was just a really weird situation. And had it, you know, I would have still thought it was odd if I'd just happened to seen it out the window. And that was all there was to it. But when you add it to what was going on the night and the day before with the whole Rosemary's Baby thing, if it wasn't as it seems to be, then it was like one of the most bizarre coincidences I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah, definitely. I remember one time when we were doing a show back with our former excellent co-host, Christopher O'Brien. He was talking about the Trickster. And right after that show, I was working here late at night just on stuff. I tend to be a bit of a night hawk. I look out my front window, and I swear, this guy goes walking by the front of my house, and he looks just like Spring Heel Jack. I mean, dressed like in some kind of, period clothes, long kind of cape-like coat, hat, pointy little beard, pointy shoes. So I'm like, what? And this is about 4 o'clock in the morning or something. So I go out and I look, because he disappeared past my hedge, and I went right out and right down to see what, you know, he was walking along the sidewalk. This is a fairly long block, and just nowhere in sight. So these things do happen.
Oh, they do. But, you know, for the most part, although I have had a few weird experiences over the years, that was definitely one of the weirdest ones, but also because it occurred at the height of when I was writing this book, The Black Diary, and when I was also getting a lot of MIB stories from people. And I also had another spate of activity that a lot of people report in relation to the MIB, and particularly people like John Keel report. It was weird phone interference on the phone, on the phone line. That happened at the height of all this as well, where on several occasions the phone rang, because I've got a landline and a cell, that the landline rang out about 2 or 3 in the morning. And of course, you know, when anybody gets a call at that time, you think is bad news. So at very least, you're going to go and check out the ID. And the weird thing was, this was the fourth, I think it was, or the fifth of several calls where the previous ones all had static on the line. It was just like really weird. Now this one, they were all showing up, it was either private caller or unknown caller, or it was a variation, but it was along those lines. The other one, or the final one, I should say, when I got to the phone, the caller ID was actually my own phone number. You know, it's kind of like that, I forget what it was called, that old horror movie, you know, it's like the calls coming from inside the house, you know, that kind of
thing. Yeah, but you've only got one phone, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got a landline and a cell, but it was on the landline, but I've only got one landline number, and it's, you know, that's all it is. So it's not like anybody else could be creeping around and, you know, dialing the number or anything. So that was really strange. And on top of that, a number of friends and colleagues in the UFO field contacted me out of the blue, not knowing that I was writing the book, telling me that they'd started to have weird MIB dreams, and they mentioned it to me because they knew I'd written previous books. So what I've found over the years with the Men in Black stories is that when you kind of investigate the MIB tales and accounts and write about it, as weird as this is going to sound, it's almost as if they know. And I don't get that in any other aspect of the things I write about. But with the MIB, it's almost as if when you sort of look into it, it's almost like an alarm bell goes off and the phenomenon then turns the tables onto you. And that's something that, you know, I've found time and time again. And, I mean, it doesn't put me off or deter me. In many respects, ironically, pushes me further. But it was that period, 14 to 18. I don't mean to think it was 24/7, 365 days a year. It wasn't. You know, but it was maybe 2 or 3 weird things per month.
Have you had anything else happen since you completed that book?
Well, that's the weird thing. I actually haven't. But in saying that, if I was to compare it to the other things, they all happened when I was doing a lot of writing and research on it. With the Black Diary, that one was sort of wrapped it all up until I get, you know, more material, which I haven't had yet. Or I haven't got yet. So I'm thinking, you know, it could happen if I started to, you know, do another book on the subject. But that would be reliance on, you know, getting more material and so on.
Now, typically they've been connected with the UFO phenomena. And are in your research, do you think that that's accurate? Are they a UFO-related phenomena? Or do you think that there's something separate and they just happen to also take an interest in UFOs themselves?
Well, they're definitely linked to the UFO subject because throughout the whole history of ufology since the 40s onwards, they're associated with people who have had UFO encounters or abductions or contactee type cases, or they just happen to see a UFO in the sky. There are a lot of cases where people have been visited by the Men in Black. So there's definitely a connection there, but what I've found over the years is that the UFO connection is not the only one. As weird as it might sound, there are a number of cases where people have claimed to have seen the men in black after they've had a Bigfoot encounter. Back in the back in 1974, a guy named Ted Holliday, who wrote a number of good books in the 70s on the paranormal, he's kind of followed the same path as John Keel. Ted Holliday spent a lot of time up at Loch Ness, Scotland, because he was sort of fascinated and obsessed by the Loch Ness monster stories. And one occasion, he encountered a man in black at near the shore of Loch Ness, who quite literally dematerialized in front of him. Really weird story. There are other cases where I have cases where it was a UFO component when the person got visited, but in the immediate aftermath, they experienced like a wave of violent poltergeist activity in the home, sort of furniture moving and you know, things falling off the walls or flying off the walls. So, I mean, even if you look at Albert Bender, you know, regardless of how much of his story was true or elaborated, the fact is that Albert Bender, you know, was an unusual guy who lived in the attic of his father-in-law's house in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And a lot of people don't know this, but Bender had a deep interest in the paranormal and the occult, and he was very well-versed in them. And he created in his attic room what he called his supernatural altar, where he would essentially try and conjure up supernatural beings. And he was a deep follower and adherent of the beliefs and of Aleister Crowley, what today you would call like chaos magic, that kind of thing.
We're going to get into more of this. And I also want to get a preview of this Area 51 book that Nick Redfern has written. He never stops. Gene Randall and Nick, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go with water filtration systems of every size for every budget. Now, GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey, everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Oh boy, we'll put some echo around that, and then it's going to be insane. Let's just go on with the story.
Right, well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of weirdness that goes on with the Men in Black that actually doesn't really have anything directly connected to UFOs, although the vast majority of cases do revolve around that. But as we were just saying about Albert Bender, he was someone well-versed in the world of the occult, did his utmost to try and summon up supernatural entities in this attic environment. And you could say, you know, he got what he asked for because allegedly, you know, he was in his room one night, started to feel ill and lightheaded, and the room was filled with this odor of like brimstone and sulfur. And he said these three shadowy figures materialized through the wall. Now, true or not, you know, Bender did have this background in the occult. He was not just a ufologist. He was someone heavily into the occult. You know, you can actually make a case that although there is a big connection between the Men in Black and UFOs, when you dig deeper and you dig out some of the more obscure cases, you find it goes far beyond that. And it really does sort of roll into what a lot of people would call the supernatural and the paranormal and even the occult. You know?
Quick question, Nick. And that is, when you look at all the things that have happened, except for poltergeist phenomena, which is obviously physical, do you think that maybe too much interest in some of these subjects, including Men in Black, can bring upon some sort of hallucination or internal experience where there's no external reality?
Well, I think that's possible. I mean, we've all at some point in our lives had a really weird dream or nightmare or something. You know, that's just how we are, you know. But what I would say is that many people do actually experience the Men in Black after they've seen a UFO, not always in the living room. Very often it is in the dream state, as if the MIB have the ability to quite literally get into your dreams or your nightmares, again, in kind of like a Matrix-type situation, you know, that, you know, they get into your dreams, and which is, against, I guess, in one sense, you know, it's sort of like a holographic nightmare. Now, I could take the view that, yes, this is all internal and, you know, there's no external angle to it at all. The only thing I would say against that, now, so admittedly, before I just say what I'm going to say, admittedly, some of the cases do sound like that the witnesses are plunged into an altered state when the MIB turn up. It's not just like somebody comes in from your apartment block to check on that everything's okay with your electric equipment or whatever, you know. It's not like that. It very often is that the person feels in this weirded out, strange state of mind, like an altered state. So somebody might say, you know, maybe they just nodded off or whatever for 10 minutes. But the important thing that makes me think that's not the answer is that so many people describe, particularly in these nightmarish states, describe what are known as like the shadow people and the hat man. And the hat man is like a silhouetted shadow wearing an old style fedora hat. And the shadow people who are pretty much the same, but without the hat. So in other words, my argument here would be, why is it that so many people who have these experiences, whether in the real world or whether in nightmares, why are so many of them, if not the vast majority, why are they seeing a silhouetted figure in black wearing an old style hat? You know, why aren't they wearing, I don't know, the outfit of anything in modern, you know, modern ray fashions? Why is it that there's so many of them are seeing this creepy character in a hat, just like the Men in Black? So, you know, depending on how you view it, it's either extremely significant or it's a coincidence. And, you know, I kind of go more for the significant angle of it all.
Now, you've got a new book that's about Area 51 coming out. Has anyone ever seen any MIB going in or out of Area 51?
Well, that's actually a good question because I've got one chapter in the book on claims that that link the Men in Black to Area 51. Now, there's one really weird story that came from an alleged whistleblower. Not to me, I should stress, but you can find the story online, where a guy who claimed to have worked at Area 51 back in the 60s and claimed that he saw like a bunch of these guys in black suits and looking really weird and sort of vampire-like, and that he was ushered away from them and told to keep away if you ever see them, which, you know, is a really strange story. You know, you go to work at Area 51 and you're confronted by these sort of ghoulish, literally white-faced, creepy guys, you know, menacing eyes and staring at you, and then somebody comes running in and say, just get away, you know, don't interact with them at all, just stay away. So that's the only story I have that links Area 51 to the Men in Black, but it's such a weird and memorable case in the process, you know.
Well, I'm actually kind of surprised that there was one. That's really interesting.
And it's the sort of thing that, you know, you have to wonder, well, would somebody even make up something like that? I could understand somebody like a Walter Mitty type might say, oh yeah, I worked at Area 51, or my grandfather did and he saw the Roswell aliens. You know, one of the problems with ufology is that there are people who they're like that. You know, they want to be perceived as like a James Bond type character when really they just, you know, they deliver milk or something. Not that there's anything wrong with delivering milk, you know, but, in this case, it was just such an off-the-wall, weird story. You know, the idea of the MIB being at Area 51 and everybody's terrified and being told to keep away. I mean, that sort of ties in with another story. It has nothing to do with the Men in Black, but it's the kind of story which I was given. And again, it seems, to me at least, the kind of thing you just would not or could not make up. And it came from a guy who said it was either 1970 or 71, I think, that a security group that, you know, they regularly patrol Area 51 from the fringes right to the base itself. And a security alert at some point, I think it was 71, that there was this security alert because when one of the jeeps or the vehicles was driving around, they found, of all things, a bicycle which looked as if it had fallen from an extremely high height. It was just, you know, pulverized and damaged. And it was sort of partially slammed into the ground. Now, you know, who would even think of creating a story like that? And the story was that they concluded that wherever this aircraft came, excuse me, wherever this bicycle came from, whether from an aircraft, you know, was thrown out, fallen out, who knows? But, I mean, Area 51 is a no-go flight area. And if somebody who wasn't cleared was approaching the base, you know, they have the right to shoot it down. So if it wasn't, you know, an aircraft that belonged to Area 51, the big question is, where did it come from? What was it being flown in? And how did it come to be thrown or dropped from some sort of aircraft or a UFO or what? And to be found, you know, by a security team pulverized in the desert floor. You know, it was just, again, like such a strange story. Who would sit there and make that kind of thing up, you know? I mean, somebody might, but I mean,
it's like
it's a weird thing to dream up, you know?
What was it, E.T., the extraterrestrial? Didn't he, like, go, you know, flying his bicycle up in the sky?
Yeah, well, that's,
I mean, maybe they shot that. Him down. And
I never thought about that, actually, but that's true, yeah. But, that's, yeah, that book comes out on New Year's Day. So the stores are all going to be shut, but you can get it on Amazon on New Year's Day. Yeah, it's like, it's a very long book. It's 400 pages, and it's basically a history of Area 51, but with the overriding emphasis is on the whole UFO stuff. So there's a lot of material on Bob Lazar and the different theories that have been put forward. You know, was his story true? Was it completely bogus and hoaxed? Was he involved in some sort of psychological warfare program to make the Russians think we've got alien technology, or was he used, you know, in some other obscure kind of situation to essentially freak out the Russians and other nations as well?
Nick, I want to ask you about that sort of deception to spook the Russians in our next segment, since Russians seem to be so much a matter of our popular culture these days, for better or worse. We've got Nick Redfern, Sheen and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.